Hello, Hyrule. Welcome back to the premier Legend of Zelda Travelogue podcast. We are your tour guides. My name is Pete.
And my name's Chris. Hey, Pete.
Hello, sir.
How you doing?
I am concerned.
Why? What has you concerned?
Chris, yesterday, before this recording, you dropped something on me that I was
going to bring that up. I didn't know if you wanted to talk about it. Yeah, okay.
You
let's get
dirty
into
rat.
It.
You dropped a theory on me that I could not address.
I've been editing episode 2. So we're recording this and I'm like, I just wrapped up my edit of that episode.
Uh-huh. It's really good, by the way.
Thank you. And while listening to it, something clicked into place that didn't click into either of our minds during the 3-hour recording session, basically, that we had that night. In that episode, you were kind of trying to figure out, I believe you had pieced together that the Zora Emerald and the Goron Ruby were both given to royalty of both of those tribes, let's say, races. And then you were trying to piece together, well, who had the Kokiri Emerald, and were they some sort of royalty as well? And you had an incredibly interesting theory that I actually still think I might prefer about Link's mother and how she may be the Queen of Hyrule.
Yep, I cannot stop thinking about it, Chris.
But while editing the episode, I realized we, just prior to that conversation, were talking about royalty in a different form. Queen Goma.
Queen Goma. Queenie, if you will.
Queenie, if you nasty. She might have had the Kokiri Emerald.
Right, but what does that mean?
What does that mean? Were the Goma some sort of friendly species Ganondorf's curse?
If they were, the previous 3 games did not depict that in any way. This is the first Goma in the timeline.
There's also the first Deku Tree in the timeline?
That's true.
So what was the Goma's relationship with the Deku Tree? Immediately in my head was like, is this some Wizard of Oz situation where there's like a small person behind the big great voice of the forest? I don't know. I'm very curious. So I think, I don't know how much validity there is to any of this. But I do like the idea that the Goma were some sort of, maybe sentient, helpful species. Mm. We even talked in that episode about how maybe the Kokiri were curious folk who played with and took care of, the Goma creatures in the tree.
Now, Chris, this is a nice theory. It is to think of like the Goma as like this little species that, worked behind the scenes to help people. Right? That's great. I like it. That's not what's been upsetting me.
Okay.
What upset me, the thing I've been thinking about and repeating in my head over and over.
You miss the Deku Tree?
I don't really miss the Deku Tree. But what if Queen Goma is not her normal state? What if Queen Goma was something else that had the Kokiri Emerald?
Okay. So like,
what if Queen Goma was queen of something else and not queen of a colony?
Wait, are you trying to imply that maybe there was some sort of Kokiri queen that got cursed and morphed into this
monster?
Take
one more step away from that. Take one more step outside of this location.
Oh, wait. Are you going back to your theory now? Of the Queen of High...
Chris, wait. What if Goma's your mom?
Oh, no! You can't... You essentially blindsided me with your mom theories twice in 4 episodes now.
Chris, what if Goma's your mom?
What if Queen Goma is Link's mom?
And simultaneously Queen of Hyrule. Like, what? What does it mean?
That is like the most tragic fate And you just take her out as a tutorial boss. Never stood a chance.
Could be.
Because, and that's why she just,
and then like,
oh my gosh, this is why she sees you and her eye just starts spinning and she's almost not even hostile. She's in a manic state because she's realizing what's going on and can't communicate
just constantly. All she can do is like attack you and spit out like your bug siblings.
Your bug siblings? I don't like that. This is way too much of a theory to start the episode off. It's 6 minutes into the episode and I'm having heart palpitations.
Chris, I start strong or I don't start at all. I have to get these things out of my system before I die.
Pete, we have done an injustice today to the royal family, and the only way that I can think of make it up to them
is invading their home
is by dedicating this episode to Hyrule Castle.
Hyrule Castle. Beautiful Hyrule Castle.
I'm sorry. I'm like spiraling mentally. I don't know how to start the episode now after that conversation.
Chris, what if Goma's your mom?
No! All right. How do we do this? Hyrule Castle. Hello, Hyrule Castle.
Hello, Hyrule Castle. Yeah. So are we starting this like as you just walk out of the gates of Castletown, or like?
Well, to be honest with you, let's start it with a little recap, because we had a few episodes of just kind of wandering around. So
sort of.
So to recap, so far this season, we watched along as our lazy forest boy joined forces with a new fairy companion, bested the challenges set forth in the mouth of the Great Deku Tree, and shortly after, we were told we need to take the Kokiri Emerald to Hyrule Castle, where we'll meet the Princess of Destiny. After that, the Great Deku Tree died, and we ate ghosts like they were comfort food and did some retail therapy to try to fill the void, but nothing worked. So today, we are heeding the Great Deku Tree's word and making our way to Hyrule Castle. All right, so we're going to talk about, basically, Hyrule Castle's kind of weird. There's really no future to talk about here. It turns into fully a different location, which will be our last episode of the season.
Yeah, no, that's I mean, we could probably just say it, right? That's Ganon's castle.
Yeah, the future version of this is Ganon's castle, and that will be a whole thing, because that's a dungeon.
It's a whole other thing.
So we're going to talk about the stealth section and the story stuff in this area of the game.
Well, before that, before the stealth mission even begins, we talk to somebody here at the entrance.
Yeah, and we mentioned this briefly in the episode, in our last episode with Travis. It's Malin.
Yeah, she just kind of hangs. I mean, you have to find her here at night, I think. She just hangs out here singing, waiting for her dad to come out.
So Travis mentioned that, her coming here at night. I never knew that it was a night requirement. The way I did this, and now I'm second guessing myself,
okay,
is I would go into this area, Hyrule Castle, go back into Castle Town, and then come back to Hyrule Castle, and Malin would be here.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, you come in here, you leave, and then you come back in here, and Malin kind of shifts. She just kind of teleports. Which I believe worked consistently for me, but it might also be like a requirement that you need to wait overnight.
Yeah, maybe you just like while you, because when you're in the Hyrule Castle map, time does pass. So maybe when you walked in, it became night, then you went back to Castletown.
Yeah, it's possible that could have happened. I don't think that's what it was. But yeah, Malin's here, and she talks about her father, Talon, who we met in the Minish Cap.
He is drunk Mario.
Literally looks like Mario.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild how many Mario. There are a lot of Marios in this game. Between last episode and this episode, we're going to talk about three of them.
In this episode?
We're going to talk about two in this episode.
What's the second one?
I guess buckle up. We'll get to it shortly. Anyway, Malin says that he must have fallen asleep somewhere around the castle. What a thing for an adult to do. Oh yeah, if you look for him, I'll give this to you. I've been incubating this egg very carefully. And she gives you a weird egg.
Mm-hmm.
Says it feels like there's something moving inside.
Ugh.
Alan, are you okay? Like, what?
Where, first off, does she have like a pack or something she's been like incubating this thing in? Not important, but I'm curious.
I would imagine not, because you finished the job and you're just carrying it, right? And also, why?
It's to wake up her dad.
She doesn't say that.
No, I think she just knows. I think she just knows that he probably fell asleep somewhere.
So every time she needs to wake her father up, she needs to hatch a cuckoo.
It seems that way.
That is wild.
I don't know for sure, but it seems like this, especially with how chill she is about this whole situation, this seems like a repeat offense.
Yeah. So this is an item in our inventory. And basically what happens is we keep it on a C button. And once the day transitions to night and then back into day, the egg will hatch into a cuckoo, which is a cool thing. It is kind of neat.
It's
cool to add on to the day-night cycle. It's literally a thing that they do here and never again in this game.
Not true. There's one other time.
I can't think of it. What is it?
It's in the future in Kakariko.
Is it potion? Is it a potion thing?
No, it's an egg that hatches into a cuckoo.
Oh, is it the blue? It's the blue one.
And do you know what you use it for?
Yeah, the quest line, right?
Actually, hang on a second. Because I'm trying to remember. Like, you use it to wake up Talon, don't you?
No, you use it to give to the guy for the saw in Lost Woods.
Oh, I'm trying to remember how you wake that guy up in the future now. Oh, well, we'll talk about it next episode.
Yeah, Kojiro, I believe, is the name of the blue cuckoo, which is a really cute name. I like that name for a cuckoo, Kojiro. Yeah. In any case, we'll talk about Talon in just a second, but let's talk about this area for a little bit, because we came in hot talking about Malon.
It's very like the exterior of Peach's castle in Mario 64.
It is. And we know that, like, in development, this game and Mario 64 shared a lot of DNA.
Right.
So much so, in fact, that Ocarina of Time was very much going to be a game set in a castle hub where you're jumping through paintings to go into different levels at a certain point in development.
Wait, what?
Yeah, we talked about that.
That this game was going to be like that?
This game, for a brief period of time, was going to be like that. And then I believe they decided to just make it a big open world at a certain point.
I think go back and give me my Link jumping into paintings game.
Because that is, you know, there is a Phantom Ganon boss fight later in the game, which is a relic of that period of this game's development, where he's jumping through that.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's like the one surviving bit of where they did that.
Huh.
Spoilers, like we're gonna talk about the Hyrule Castle area, but you're not in a castle a whole lot during this section of the game.
I don't think you actually enter the castle at any point.
No. I mean, we'll get into a castle later in the game, and it's a pretty cool castle, don't get me wrong.
It's not this castle.
It's not this castle, and I can't imagine that was the castle that they planned for the whole game to take place in. Anyway, let's talk about this area. So it's like the lead up to the castle. It's like a little meadow?
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's like a dirt path, which not great for the exterior of your very fancy palace, but there's a dirt path that leads up to a secure drawbridge gate, or not, it's a drop gate.
A dropped gate, yeah.
That's manned by one guard?
Manned by, come on.
He's there and is a man.
It's also like a very viney area. There are some vines right here by Malon, which we can climb.
Disagree. It is not a viney area. There just are some vines right near here.
It's all, yeah, this one place is a viney area.
It is a viney spot.
It's a viney spot.
Which, by the way, so you're supposed to climb these to get, you know, to sneak into the palace, right? That's the first step, is to climb these vines.
Mm-hmm.
On the N64, this is a gargantuan task for me.
Why?
You didn't have any difficulty with this at all, trying to climb these like veiny JPEG vines?
It's weird because like at the base there are three or four different vines.
It's multiple choice at the bottom.
They all roll into one vine, so like if you are not going straight up that single vine, you will fall all the way back down. Yeah.
If you are not pixel perfect on this vine, you will fall.
Yeah. There's also a tree right here on by this vine, and this is just one of the trees at this point that's programmed into my brain that has a scutella, so whenever I see this tree,
oh yeah, me too,
I'm like, you, and I just run and bang my head right into it.
That one is hardwired. Yeah, absolutely. But really, the other one more thing I want to say about this vine is that
holy cow, chip on your shoulder.
Is that they actually fixed it in 3DS.
How so?
It's a straight line.
So it's just one thin vine.
It's one thin, you know, almost as if it's like in a vineyard. You know, just a straight line of vines for you to climb up.
Okay.
No guesswork, no falling, no fumbling. Just get up there and go.
Smart move. I mean, I think the 3DS port is filled with tons of smart little changes like that.
It is, granted, strange to think that, like, this is the one spot vines grow and they grow in this exact line formation. It is a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, at that point, don't really care much.
There's also, it's basically like one curving road all the way up to the castle itself.
Yeah.
But that road is just, there are guards plopped all over it.
Sure.
and you cannot get in their line of sight. Otherwise, they kick you all the way to the start of this level.
A somewhat limited line of sight, let's be fair.
Sure, sure.
They can't see like more than, let's say, be generous and say 20 feet around them.
Right.
And to the, and that's just in front of them. To the sides, they can't, they are completely blind. Like they have like horse blinders.
This is the sneaking section of this full game.
Uh-huh.
There's a correct path for you to go around.
Right.
And there's a fair amount of trial and error until you know it. Mm-hmm. And then when you know it, you're just beelining every time from then on.
There's a curve to that, though, where like you don't know how to get in there and you have to trial and error to figure out the way in.
Mm-hmm.
Then you know it for a while. Then maybe like a couple playthroughs in, like you get a little confident. And you're like, okay, I know this way really well. Suddenly you realize you don't know it that well and you're getting caught a bunch.
Was that your trajectory?
I got overconfident.
So I didn't get overconfident and have a tough time with the guards. When I replayed this for the show to take notes, I forgot completely that you get completely gated by Talon.
Oh, sleeping. Yeah.
I forgot about the weird egg. So I got all the way there and then was like, oh, I was so happy with myself for getting there on my first try. I have to go all the way back now, leave the area, come back in.
Must be easier to get out, right? Because like all you got to do is get caught.
All you got to do is get caught, yeah.
Yeah.
There's also the castle itself here. Do you want to talk about the castle?
Hey, remember the Hyrule Castle level from Smash Brothers on 64?
Yes, I remember it.
That. It's that. Like, you look at it, it's that.
It's lovingly recreated from that. Yeah. I mean, it's cool. It's like this white and black castle with a big brown, I guess.
Drawbridge?
I guess that's like a drawbridge. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got some, you know, diamonds all over. It's got some like pointy roofing.
Diamonds?
Yeah. By the, on the each side of the door. I guess those are like torches.
One moment. Zooming in. Enhance. Oh no, those are like sconces, my man.
Sconces. Sconce sounds like a sugary treat. It sounds like an ice cream treat that you would have at 8:30 p.m.
In a Willy Wonka world, maybe.
Or in a Willy Wonka world.
Yeah, no, Hyrule Castle is like pretty cool for like N64 days, because like you never saw anything like this before, most likely.
Unless you played Mario 64, in which you saw something very similar to this and probably more impressive.
Exactly. Here's the thing about this place. Hyrule Castle changes designs pretty wildly across the timelines.
Mm-hmm.
And the same goes for Castletown nearby. But like most of it, if you look at different shots from between different games, you can almost kind of track it.
Sure.
The real thing that I get stuck on, though, is like at one point in history, the castle becomes like an island. Like there's not just a moat, there's like a whole like swath of land missing behind it that made it into an island.
Are you talking about like Breath of the Wild?
I'm talking about Wind Waker. I'm talking about that line of games. I think there's others in another timeline, but I can't recall at the moment.
Hyrule Castle and Wind Waker. It's this castle, isn't it?
Not quite, because there's two different... there's this design that's in a couple games. There's the Wind Waker design that's in a couple games, which has like a lot more like spires on top.
Right. Okay, I remember.
And then there's the one in Breath of the Wild, which is just massive.
Yeah, it's big. I mean, that's a cool Hyrule Castle.
Yeah, definitely.
This one is good. I feel like we're talking about the exterior right now because that's where we're at. We're going to get on the interior in the second half of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the interior of this Hyrule Castle is a little bit more memorable.
So I think I know what you mean by interior. You never actually go in the castle.
No, I mean the interior to the exterior.
Here we go again.
I mean, when you're outside, but after you've gone in through the sewer grates to meet Zelda
sure.
in like the castle yard, similar to where we find her in Minish Cap.
But first, we're on this big dirt road, right?
Yeah. Sorry.
Do you think
we're getting ahead of ourselves?
Is the reason of this big dirt road like a defensible position, do you think?
Is it a defensible position?
Yeah. Like if you have an army trying to charge the drawbridge or whatever, you're going to have to go around this big hill.
It is very like zigzaggy, almost cartoonishly so. So I can imagine if a full army is like marching toward, they're going all the way to the right and then slowly all the way to the left,
uh-huh.
and then a little bit more right again so they line up with the drawbridge.
By that time you've escaped.
Right, exactly. You've sent your little boy to the forest at that point.
But yeah, no, I just one last thing about the guards that are posted, you know, sporadically throughout this area. They should probably consider at some point in the future like their total lack of peripheral vision in those helmets.
Yeah,
like not for nothing, it's really not doing them any favors.
No, I also, if we're talking about guards, the guards fit, they got some very fun, cute little shorts in this game.
They do wear shorts.
But like their knees are so exposed. If someone just like shoots them in the knee with a bow and arrow.
Suddenly you're making a Skyrim joke.
I didn't. I could have. I knew I could have and I consciously didn't.
So by the way, really quick, Chris, there's this little guardhouse that has the drop gate in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the one that has like the big like bird statue on it.
Yeah.
I have no clue what the bird is.
So this is interesting, right? Because we know that there is a bird statue later on in the Shadow Temple, like a prominent bird statue. So when I did research for this episode and I looked at this area and I noticed that bird, I was like, oh, I wonder if that's like what they reused later. I wonder if this is a symbol of the royal family to some extent.
Oh.
And it's not. That's the thing. The bird in the Shadow Temple is a completely different model. So my headcanon is the bird on the dropped gate outside Hyrule Castle here. It's like way more detailed.
Uh-huh.
I want to believe that this is the bird in the Royal Hyrule Crest. I want to believe that this is a Loftwyrne.
Oh, this is a statue of Flofty? Is that what you're getting at?
I want to believe that that is the royal boy Flofty.
Boy, if that's the case, they really lost track of what Loftwings look like at this point in history.
It's been a while. They're just like, you know, telling tales down. They're doing their best. That's a lot of detail.
By the way, let me ask you a flavor question, Chris. At this bridge, drop gate thing, the guardhouse, do you prefer to jump off of the bridge once you get there, or do you prefer to climb down the ladder and walk out the door?
There is never any time to climb down the ladder. If you know what you're doing, you are jumping off.
Not to mention
jump and roll.
Not to mention there's no treasure chest or anything in there. There's no point to go in there.
It's the weirdest little empty room. It's like if a guard is about to have a panic attack, they can just go into this little isolated room and breathe for a few minutes and no one will know that they like needed to come down.
It's just to give you the option, I guess.
Oh, so.
You know what? No, wait, I'm being silly. That's in case you wanted to walk out of here without getting caught. That's the gameplay reason it's here. Like if you wanted to walk out of this road once you've infiltrated.
Yeah. And again, it's hard to take that part of your brain out that knows what to do here and right. To like kind of go back to that fresh state.
Oh yeah, no. In the cafe, it makes no sense at all.
Yeah, you just do a diagonal jump and you're golden. One last time, it really is so fun. Like once you've done this a few times, to just go through the motion and just know the exact shape that you need to.
I don't know, man. When you have to go up the hill between those guards, I kind of mess that part up a lot.
Oh, I have this stuff down to a science. And there's also like a rock climbing area right before you go into the castle proper. There's these brown rock textures that you climb up.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, no, I forgot. That's how you get like past the wall.
Yes, exactly. And it's like this weird thing of like, oh, they never use this texture again. You never just climb a rock wall like this again.
Never?
I'm pretty sure in this game. Maybe in Gerudo Valley somewhere?
Now I'm wondering, because I think you might be right.
It might be some endgame thing that I've played less. Like we established in the earlier episodes, I've played the beginning of this game way more times than I've played the end of this game.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, before we go too much further into the castle, I do want to mention, we talked about the Mask of Truth last episode, the mask that Link can put on and suddenly talk to the gossip stones, the Sheik Big Brother.
Is there one here?
There are two here, and I have their dialogue. I'm not going to always bring up their dialogue, but if I notice that it's like pertinent to what we're about to discuss in the episode, I'll try to grab it.
Okay, great.
So we got one right by the vines that says, they say that if you get close to a butterfly while holding a Deku stick in your hands, something good will happen.
What?
Have you done this? Do you know what this is?
Not a clue. What? What are you talking about?
I've verified this. If you get, there are patches of butterflies on the walk up to the castle.
Okay.
If you take your Deku stick out and just walk around them, occasionally one butterfly will land on the Deku stick and turn into a fairy. And you can bottle up the fairy.
Whoa.
Did you ever know that?
Wait a minute.
I just learned that.
So flocks of butterflies, the only thing we knew about that previously for Goddess Walls and Skyward Sword. So I don't know if there's any connection there. But they land on a Deku stick and then turn specifically into a fairy.
Yeah.
What is... There's like...
It's like super hard to trigger too. Like you've got to really slowly walk around a group of butterflies for a bit.
There is a theory on the tip of my tongue and I cannot quite put the pieces together yet. I'll have to come back to you with that.
The second Gossip Stone line that I have is, contrary to her elegant image, Princess Zelda of Hyrule Castle is in fact a tomboy, which at first just seemed like some weird gossip, some like little like, okay, cool it. I don't need to know this much about this person.
Also,
life.
Pretty rude.
But I do think that what it's trying to convey in that weird 1998 way is, is there a character that has a secret identity that maybe is like a little bit ambiguous?
I guess.
I think this is a little chic.
It could be. But like.
Yeah, no, totally. I agree with you. But I think that's what they're trying to get at with this one. Anyway, those are the two I have. Before we approach Talon and wake him up from his deep slumber, I do want to talk about a fun little secret in this area.
Yeah.
There's a large rock to the east.
The dead end.
And what do you do with dead ends? You blow them up with bombs.
I guess. I mean,
it's a Zelda game. If there's a symmetrical dead end, you blow it up.
They put that sign there for a reason. I don't know, man. It's like you look down, you can see very clearly, like maybe 6 steps into this side path, that it is collapsed with a rock and there's no road.
Yeah.
And still someone felt that it was important to put a sign that says dead end.
Right. And anytime you see a wall with a sign that says dead end in a Zelda game, I'm pretty sure across the board it's conveying that you need to bomb it, right?
Most of the time, actually, like for in that situation, the sign would say something to the tune of like, no bombing. Bombing is prohibited. Don't use the bomb items.
I feel like Mount Krennel had some dead end signage on
its way. There was some stuff like that.
Anyway, so we blow up this bomb. We see a tiny little hole. Luckily, we're still young Link and we can crawl right into it. And when we get here, we are treated to our very first in Ocarina of Time, Fairy Fountain.
Gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. This place, I mean, like, I don't remember exactly on the N64, but on the 3DS, gorgeous.
It's very cool. I mean, it's a little cove where the walls are all kind of aluminum looking and very sparkly. And there are some flames in the distance,
yeah,
and some stairs and a Triforce on the ground in front of you.
Do you know why the walls are glimmery, Chris?
No.
Because they depict it a little more clearly on the 3DS.
Oh, okay. I don't recall.
It's water. It's like rainbow water that's passing over all like crystals and whatnot.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Like that's just a fairy fountain. The whole room is fountain.
That's good stuff. I do like that quite a bit.
It's real good.
And you approach the Triforce on the ground, and we haven't quite learned it yet up to this point in the travelogue, but when you see a Triforce on the ground, you're going to want to stand over it and play Zelda's lullaby. It's a symbol of the royal family, and it usually means play the Zelda's lullaby here.
It kind of, because it's like, well, we're going to find that out later in this episode, but like the tune is like very tied to the royal family, right?
Yeah.
And so like it's used in various spots as the key to enter certain places that it should be only accessible by the royal family.
Indeed.
Why is that here?
I don't know. It implies some sort of relationship between the great fairies and the royal family, which I cannot connect in my head.
I want more fairy lore. This season, it's like, I think the number one thing I want is fairy lore. And I don't, they don't give it in like almost any game.
What's like, funny is because of the way we're recording episodes for this season, I just hear you begging and begging for fairy lore. And if we were recording it the way we used to, you'd be getting it between recordings. But we're recording so many up front that you're screaming into the void. I'm not going to look up that fairy lore for you.
Did the king of Hyrule strike a contract with the great fairies, Beowulf style, to put an end to the civil war?
No. He worked with the Sheikah.
He worked with the Sheikah. Well, I mean, he also like sealed the contract with the Goron and the Zora, at least, because then he gave them the spiritual stones.
Okay, sure.
At least that's an assumption, but it's, you know, a fairly reasonable assumption. But what's with the great fair? What's going on?
I don't know. I don't have a good answer for you. We still have about 17 episodes left. to figure it out. I do. Yeah, I would love to come up with, that's the one thing I really hope we get by the end of this season,
uh-huh.
is a good reason why the Great Fairy locations are where they are. Like, I want that to be something that makes sense in all of the games.
The locations too?
Yeah, right? Like, this should be here for a reason. I mean, it's kind of like, like, why? Okay, one question is why Zelda's Lullaby?
Yeah.
But also, why is it located here?
Okay.
I'm asking questions I do not have the answer.
Where would the Great Fairy of Wind be if they were still alive?
Okay. So let's talk about the Great Fairies in this game, because guess what? Great Fairy of Wind's not in this one. We approach, we play the Ocarina, and the Great Fairy comes out. Do you want to talk about what the Great Fairy looks like in this game?
Not safe for work.
Okay. It's not that bad.
No, it's not that bad. But it looks like Poison Ivy.
Yeah, it totally does. It's like a cool green lady with a try pigtail, kind of.
Yeah, I guess that would be what you'd call it, huh?
It's like hair in a ponytail going upward, left and right. She's got red hair. I believe all of them in this game have the red hair, right?
In this game, they all have like the reddish pink hair.
Yeah, and she also has the same color mascara, I guess, or
I don't know makeup.
She's got vines all over her body and like twisting her hair.
And these huge boots, I just realized. Like knee-high boots.
This is definitely a look. This is the fairy that we identified in the Four Swords season after. This is the new game plus fairy.
Well, it's the model at least, because in Four Swords they take on different colors.
Right. That's true. And I have a few facts about the Great Fairies in this game. We know that they live in Great Fairy Fountains that all have the Triforce symbol engraved on the floor. This is the first time that we see great fairies without wings.
You
can make the argument Anniversary maybe doesn't have wings, but like that's like a retrofit thing, and that's like the weird new game plus mode. It gets murky.
Huh?
This is like the first time naturally we see them without wings.
Why not?
I don't know.
Why not?
Their wings have been clipped. All three of the great fairies refer to themselves as the Great Fairy of Magic.
Right.
So, like, all three of the fairies that give out magic, they just refer to themselves as the Great Fairy of Magic.
Are you
sure? So there's
an
argument that they are, yes. One gives out Din's Fire, one gives out Nehru's Love, and one gives out Furor's Wind.
Right.
But when they introduce themselves, they just say, I'm the Great Fairy of Magic. They may be the same person. We can't visually tell them apart.
Wait, is there not one that gives you shielded hearts?
So, about that, the great fairy who blesses Link with a magical sword spin attack is the Great Fairy of Power. There's one that gives Link a larger magic meter. That's the Great Fairy of Wisdom.
Oh.
And there's one who gives Link a defense upgrade. That's the Great Fairy of Courage.
Why is Courage a defense upgrade?
It makes sense, right? Power is often attributed with attack. Wisdom is often attributed with magic. And courage and defense, it feels like a cop-out because, like, the last thing you want is defense
sometimes. It's the thing that was left over, so it goes to courage.
But, like, also, I do feel like that is the trait sometimes that is just kind of attached to courage in these games. I think it checks out in this game.
I guess you could reason that it is, like, since you are more protected, you are more brave.
Yeah.
Which kind of goes against the whole idea of having courage. Anyway, all right.
The color of the fountain walls in these great fairy fountains will change to signify the different types of fairies that reside in them.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, that's really the broad strokes of all of these fairy fountains.
Yeah, you don't get a lot of dialogue or anything out of them.
Right. We'll still bring these up. We'll kind of gloss over them in the future. This one is the Great Fairy of Magic, who will give us a magic spell that is Din's Fire.
Mm.
She says you can use Din's Fire not only to attack, but also to burn things.
That is putting it lightly. It's a huge, like, DBZ fireball.
Yeah. You will incinerate the whole room around you.
It's great.
It's kind of broken in a really cool way. I mean, you have a magic meter. You can't just spam it.
Well, that's the thing. It's not just the move that's broken. It's how little magic it uses.
Yeah. Yeah. This is I think, the one magic spell that I used easily the most at all.
Yeah. That's fair, honestly.
That's all I have about the Great Fairy Fountain here. Do you have anything else?
I want to know why the Great Fairies are beholden to the royal family of Hyrule, and I'm going to get to the bottom of it.
Good thing we have a Discord now where we can put these questions out there and crowdsource
Nope. We're just going straight off the dome. This is just me. This is my quest. Okay.
Oh, you're going to figure it out right here, right now?
Well, not right now.
Okay, good. So let's pull back then. Let's leave this serene little cove.
Well, really quick, because I don't see us mentioning this later. I know we're not stepping into the future this episode, but when you are here in the future, when it is Ganon's castle, this spot has been plowed out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's been dug out with, and like, it, almost like a huge laser cannon, like, burrowed a hole through this area.
I do think that in that episode, we'll come back down here because there's something very valuable past here.
Oh, okay. Is it
you
not?
There's a giant rock in the way that you have to lift and toss out of the way.
Yeah. And it leads into the same fountain, doesn't it?
The last Great Fairy Fountain, you get the strength, the defense upgrade.
Oh, it's a different fountain in the same spot?
Yeah, there's a different Great Fairy in this general area. That is weird, isn't it?
So is she there right now, or does she like set up shop later?
You know, maybe they kind of pack up. Maybe they transfer every now and then, like, you know, go on little trips, keeps things fresh for them.
So Ganondorf blows the place up. Fairy of Magic is like, I'm tagging out.
Yeah. And then they need the Great Fairy of Defense because things have gotten really bad in that general area.
Yeah, that would be the one you won that spot, I think.
Okay. If we're all done with the field area, I guess we can kind of push forward toward the castle itself.
More or less. I mean, we're still on the same map because once we get in over that rock wall that we climb up, mm-hmm. we have to sneak by the guards by going through the moat.
Yeah, you gotta dive into that water. That one I do remember messing up once or twice. And then you swim past the guards, pull yourself up out of the water, and you see our friend Super Mario taking a nap out here. Like, it's wild that, like, why the guards just miss him? They just missed him?
I think they just forgot he's there.
Maybe they knocked him unconscious, but he's too heavy to, like, pick up and move.
No, so I don't think that's it. This dude is clearly a lush. He's drunk.
Yeah, he's had too much milk.
Yes, it's too much of those adult-friendly milkshakes.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, this is the point that I got to without triggering Malin. I got here in one go, and then I was like, I gotta go. Okay. After you go through that experience once, you never mess that one up again.
It's not true at all.
All right. You shouldn't ever. You have no good excuse to ever mess it up again.
There you go.
Anyway, so you get the egg from Malin. You wait a day. When the cuckoo hatches, it says, look, a chicken hatched from the egg you were incubating. The miracle of life. And it's like, did you not know in this game that they were called cuckoos? I'm pretty sure that they're called cuckoos elsewhere.
I mean, unless that's Hylia talking to Link, teaching you what, you know, baby is. He doesn't know.
Like he doesn't know what horse is.
All of his friends and neighbors grew out of pods.
Right. Yeah. This is Hylia keeping the kayfabe, I guess, a little bit. I have a note here mentioning that the egg hatching mechanic just feels set up for something. Like, there are so many things at the start of Ocarina of Time. Sometimes in game design, I think Doom is famous for this. For when they made Doom, they made the first level last.
Oh.
Right? So they built that whole game, and then they made the first level with the lessons that they learned from all the other levels, and they were able to incorporate that into the first level, which is brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
It's like masterclass game design.
I've heard that about movie making too. I don't know if that applies to all movies, but where it's like you make the hardest part first.
Sure.
That way you could guarantee you can do it, and then you go on and you make the rest.
There are just several things. I mean, we mentioned it in like the Deku Treat episode and now here. There are several little things early on in this game that they do once and they almost never revisit that almost feel like, oh, maybe they thought they would be using this more throughout Ocarina of Time and then they just never did.
It does seem like kind of a setup for a mechanic like that you'd have later, right?
Does Majora's Mask do anything with items changing over time more often? I can't recall.
I might be thinking of something else, but like, is there like a special milk that you get that turn? No, wait, no, I'm thinking of the pumpkin soup in Skyward Sword.
Yeah, which is just a timer. I mean, that's,
yeah.
We have the Bigoron questline where they do timer stuff.
Yeah, no, nothing's coming to mind for special items or anything.
Right. That's fine. Anyway, so the cuckoo hatches. We target Talon and we shove the cuckoo in his face, which is like the one time that the targeting and item usage like kind of doesn't work half the time for me, but whatever. It's fine. And he wakes up screaming, "What in tarnation? I went to the castle to deliver some milk, but I sat down here to rest, and I guess I fell asleep." So you're right. He got high in his own supply. He drank some of that milk.
Some of that friendly milk, and he, you know, took a little nap.
He says, Malin's going to kill me, and then he runs off with the cuckoo.
Yeah, you've been missing for days.
So from this point, he's gone now, and we have this little pathway where we can push these giant crates with cows on them.
I have to assume crates of like milk bottles and such, which we are now throwing in the moat.
Oh, do you think he was delivering? Was he delivering?
What else? The boxes have like cows on them.
Yes. Okay. He went to deliver.
Hang on. Why did you think he was here?
I knew why he was here. I didn't piece together that the boxes were his for some reason. I always thought the boxes were some weird thing, but it totally makes sense why they're there now. So you use the boxes to get across the moat into the sewer based on the hint that we got from the weirdos outside the tree in Castletown.
Climbing up through the toilet.
We're climbing up through the toilet and we're breaking into the interior of the exterior of Hyrule Castle.
Not at night. You don't want to go at night.
You don't want to go at night. You're going to get kicked right back out.
Guard presence is huge at night.
Yeah, it's impossible to progress.
Although weirdly, like if you get caught inside of the palace grounds, you'll just be thrown into the moat.
Oh, really?
Or maybe not exactly the moat, but like into the spot where Talon was sleeping. Like you're still—
Oh, you're right.
You're still inside of the fence.
Yeah, it's not a hard reset. It could be much worse. It's not like when the guards find you outside and you go back to the beginning of this area.
Like it's just so strange that they don't kick you out the entire way.
It's generous. I'm glad. It's checkpointing, let's be honest. It's gamey-whamey.
Is it like the honor system? It's like, okay, you've been caught, kid, walk home.
Yeah, they're tired. You know these lazy guards. They're like, you can't be here. Go.
I'm tired. I have to pee. Like, based on all these guards that are walking really fast on the inside of the, on the interior of the castle grounds, they can't see a single thing through those helmets. It's just a terrible job.
Absolutely, yeah. All right, so let's talk about the castle courtyard a little bit.
I don't know if this is supposed to be the castle courtyard music or if this is sneaky time music.
So we have a few different, like, this is fun. By fun, I mean this is explicitly not fun until you're very good at it, and then it's arguably fun.
Chris, really quick, before we get into the nitty-gritty of this sneaking segment, why are we doing this again?
We are doing this because we were given the Kokiri Emerald and told to meet the Princess of Destiny to show it to her.
Oh, the Deku Tree included that in his little death rattle that we should go find Zelda.
This is why we do recaps, not just for the audience, but for us.
Right, but podcast amnesia is real, and I have it real bad.
I get it. It's Friday night at 9:30 p.m. Don't timestamp the episode. So we have, like, this is interesting because it's like broken up by multiple screens, right? So you like go from right to left or from the bottom of the screen to the top of the screen, and the camera kind of cuts to a new area. We have a few screens that are just like some bushes, some, you know, stone paths to walk, some barrels. We have some cool little fountains.
You're going to pass like this part. The courtyard is filled with garden decorations.
Yeah.
You got your fountains. You got your topiaries. You got your statues. Like, I think of later. Yeah, there's statues. And you got this thing, I don't know what it's called, I didn't bother to look it up, where it's like this kind of hanging vine art display thing.
I would imagine that's like, let's just say it's like a, like they're hanging grapes to pick or something.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. It's like a little like lattice of like leaves that they have hanging over a little patio area. Like this is where they'd bring out like a table and chairs to have tea, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of nice in that regard. Like we talked in the past about how some houses don't feel very lived in. I'm not saying that the castle courtyard is super lived in, but it does have like a nice unique touch to it.
Honestly, this whole area, even on the N64, this is kind of like a nice place to think about, like, you know, walking through. Granted, like, it's kind of seems to be in like some level of disrepair. Like the stone path that they have is broken up by grass and whatnot, which is really not convenient if you're trying to, you know, just keep your feet dry.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, there's no discernible. The trek up here had a discernible path to it, whereas here it kind of feels like they were clicking and dragging the path cursor, and every now and then they let go of the button, and they were like, it's all right. It's all right. Just keep
they
going.
They drew the path in Microsoft Paint. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I want to talk about some of the statues around here.
Yeah, I mean, we're jumping back and forth up and down this courtyard, and I think that's okay, right?
Yeah. I mean, okay, let's talk about what this section is. We're slowly walking through as guards travel in circles, and you've got
patrol.
They patrol. That's what traveling in circles, that's the word. they patrol, and you just need to not be in their line of sight.
Right.
It's a pain in the butt until it isn't, which is kind of like this whole section.
Honestly, you're better off in this segment taking chances than waiting to find out when you can move.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Like, some of these guards are moving pretty slowly. They're taking their time. Others are booking it. Like, they are waiting for their shift to be over.
Yeah, the further you go, the quicker they are going around in circles. None of it's really too hard. You've just got to be patient. Sometimes the hardest part of these stealth sections is buckling down and waiting for an opening.
Uh-huh.
Like, you just want to go quicker and you can't. But the thing I really want to hang on for a second is, like, these really cool, weird statues that are found throughout the courtyard section.
There's a couple weird ones, right?
Yeah, so this first one, which seems, even in this N64 version, to be symbolic of some kind of warrior and some smaller people surrounding it.
Yeah, I'm really not clear on what's going on here. It's got, like, kind of Greco-Roman kind of vibes about it.
Yeah, a little bit. To me, honestly, in the N64 version, it looks like Shredder from TMNT. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes, I do.
But they cleaned it up very consciously for the 3DS version, which I've also sent you.
Right. It looks really, really good. But I still want to know what the heck it is.
This is one that I've seen a lot of interesting theories about.
Before you even say what it is, Chris, or what the theories are, there's something that I even scolded myself about this in my notes. This is art belonging to rich people that they have in their home, right?
Sure.
Art doesn't always have lore.
Pete.
I know. Listen, I had that thought and I immediately threw it away. I just felt like...
Pete.
I felt like it was worth mentioning.
I would like to point you to the whole of season 3 of our show. Where we talked about lore in a game that I'm pretty sure didn't have any. But yes, I know what you mean. Especially like this, when you look at where this was in the development life cycle, I think a lot of the lore that might get attributed might be us retrofitting things in, you know, years after the fact that the developers... That's half of the franchise. And honestly, for a lot of people, that's half of the fun of this franchise.
It's true.
So let's go down that rabbit hole for just a minute. Do you think that there is any chance that this is one of the previous heroes?
Like a depiction of them?
Yeah.
I think
the royal family would have a statue about them. And here's the thing that kind of, because like, whatever, you could look at any person with a sword, and if it's a good picture, be like, that's the hero. And if it's a bad picture, he's like, that's Ganondorf. I don't, whatever. But like, the thing about if you look at the N64 version, it kind of looks like a bunch of maidens. It kind of looks like possibly like seven maidens.
Yeah,
or something.
Back then, that and the N64 one, that's kind of what I thought too. Like, there's like a person at the center and then like two fancy ladies.
No, you're looking at the 3DS one if you're seeing two ladies. I'm talking about the one above it.
Well, you say above it, people don't see the picture you're
I'm talking to you. I'm talking about the one underneath the vineyard.
No, I see it. I kind of see fancy ladies on both, to be honest.
Right. But there's a bunch of fancy ladies on the N64 one, is what I'm saying. There's
okay.
At least six visible ones.
Okay. Well, why don't you tell me what we're driving at here?
Oh, I think it could be, you know, potentially a depiction of one of the previous heroes.
Could be.
Some people were, you know, thinking, oh, is this, you know, the first hero, or the hero of men, maybe the Minish Cap hero.
Is there, I mean, like, it's so hard to know for sure, right? For any of this, because even if Nintendo gave it genuine thought about, like, this is supposed to be depicting this, but it is, you know, as lore and history and legends change over the centuries, like, the meaning and the understanding of it changes.
Yeah.
So, like, even if this is a lore-based thing, there's every possibility that it has changed through the telephone games so many times. claims that it no longer resembles anything.
100%. 100%.
Until it's just like, it's a guy with a sword and two small ladies.
At the end of the day, that's all it is. There's also one right before you enter the area with Zelda.
Oh yeah, right at the end of the sneaking segment.
That literally looks like they scanned something from a real life history museum and just put it in.
It's the shading, right?
Yeah, it almost feels like an absolute disservice to like spend too much time trying to figure out who that guy could be.
Let's make something up then. Like it's Headmaster Gaepora from Skyward Sword.
That is Jakamar.
Yes.
Good, we figured it out.
Really, I have a question for you, Chris, because you played Master Quest, right?
Not fully, but yeah.
This segment, does this part get harder in Master Quest?
No, the only thing that changes in Master Quest is literally the dungeons.
Oh, okay.
And if you play the 3DS version, the map is flipped from, you know, left to right. But only when you're entering dungeons do they change the rooms in those dungeons. Oh. Everything else is the way it's been.
Interesting, because I was kind of hoping that you would say, it's like, oh yeah, it's like Splinter Cell, and like the guards actually, they take their helmets off and can see you.
Oh geez, no, they barely had the stealth chops to make this section of the game work. I am glad that they did not attempt to make it even harder for Master Quest.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's get past these procrastinating guards and get into the castle courtyard proper. What's it called? Elemental Grounds in Minish Cap?
The Elemental Sanctuary?
The Elemental Sanctuary.
Why do you ask? Why do you
like
ask?
That would be this area.
I'm so happy, Chris, that you said that. I have thoughts. I have thoughts. I have thoughts.
Wait, Pete, before you get into those thoughts, should we talk about this game first and then we can talk about other games?
Fine. Go.
I just saw you completely deflate. I just feel like it'll be easier to get this stuff out now and then go wild on the tail end.
That's fair. I mean, all right. Okay.
All right. So we are brought back down and we have control of the camera again, and it's behind Link. I guess we didn't mention it, but the camera like goes.
Yeah, that's right.
The camera goes above Link for the sneaking section.
We had no control over this part. It's like a Resident Evil. Like you go from one spot into the next and then the camera will move once you move far enough.
Yeah. Kind of isometric, sort of. Now we are snapped back behind Link. We have this great little circular grass field, I guess.
It's its own. I would call this a courtyard.
Yeah, this is
more than the other segment.
It's also got a moat. There are some, you know, depictions of the Triforce with wings around them on the walls. There are some patches of flowers, uh-huh. Some trees.
I mean, it's not. I mean, this is supposed to be like a fancy little garden, right? This is supposed to be like a nice spot. Like they have like specifically dug, at least on the 3DS, specifically dug out like little garden plots off to the left and right.
Yeah, they've kind of done that in the N64.
All it is just like kind of like cheap little yellow flowers.
Okay,
you guys are loaded. You couldn't do any better than that.
I think it's cute. Yeah, it's a little bit bare on the N64 version.
They blew their budget on the statue of the guy with the things.
Yeah. Zelda is in the distance. It looks like she's praying against the wall with the Triforce. Before we start talking to her, though, I'm going to call out our second Mario sighting of this episode.
Oh, this is what you meant. Okay.
It's one of the classic Ocarina of Time Easter eggs. Everyone knows it. Uh-huh. If you peek into the windows in this location, you could see artwork from Mario 64.
Right.
Pictures depicting Mario flying with the wing cap, Bowser, Yoshi, Princess Peach, Luigi. All of them are in the castle.
I'm sorry to tell you this, Chris, but all of those are gone on 3DS.
What? No.
Yeah, they're all gone. It is replaced in one window, you just have like a flower vase, and on the other window you have like some kind of diorama of something. Like there's no references.
Why do I feel like it was world 1-1 of Mario? Like I feel like there's still a Mario Easter egg in one of these windows.
Oh yeah, you know what, that sounds right. Like the diorama is like of a Mario level, maybe.
I believe that's the case. I could be wrong. I didn't check it before this episode.
You know, Nintendo, like Grezzo, like you updated it and took the references out and changed. Like you realize this is weirder, right? This is the weirder option instead of having just a painting of Bowser.
It's all the Smash Brothers universe, right? The characters exist. Every time it seems potentially like we're going to dive down a rabbit hole where we connect Mario lore, I'm just going to say something stupid like, oh, it's all the Smash Brothers universe.
That's the second time you said Smash Brothers universe in this season. If you say it a third time, it'll become real.
Do you dare me? I'll do it.
Hold on to it. Keep it in your pocket.
Okay. Anyway, we approach Zelda. We tap her shoulder. She turns around. She looks frankly gobsmacked.
Like, yeah, surprise. She was not praying. She was snooping.
Yes, she was snooping. Young Zelda's got like a cool look in this game. Do you want to describe her?
She's dressed kind of like a nun.
A little bit.
But
she's got like this cool brooch. It almost looks like a little golden scarab with a red jewel in the center.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
And she's got a headband with the Triforce on it. A white cap. I don't know what
it's kind of like. It's kind of like I can't describe. I don't know what the word is because I don't know fashion of any era. But if you watch like the Disney Robin Hood, it's what Maid Marian wears.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well put. Yeah. So she's frankly surprised to see us here. She says, "Who are you?" She recognizes that Link has a fairy. And she asks him if he has the spiritual stone of the forest as well, right? So she recognizes him.
You got the stuff?
You got the goods?
You got the money?
This whole conversation, they allow you to say yes or no.
Uh-huh.
And it's one of those kind of classic Zelda things where say no, Zelda's going to find a way to get you to say yes.
More or less, every time you do that, like it just boils down to Zelda going, come on.
Please? Can you please choose the other one? Anyway, basically after that, she mentions that she had a dream where dark clouds were billowing over Hyrule, but a light shot out of the forest, and from it came a figure holding a green shining stone followed by a fairy.
Okay.
And she believes that that figure was Link.
Oh, yeah. We addressed how this era's Zelda has prophetic visions, right?
Yeah. It's one of the things that the town was gossiping about.
At one point, like if you say no to one of her questions, she'll say, come on, my visions are never wrong.
Right.
Something like that.
Which means she's constantly spouting out prophecies and most of the time getting them right, which is like, we should talk about that. Also, like, I want a game about that. That's wild. But we also, in the Great Deku Tree episode, discussed how each wielder of the Triforce is having these nightmares, right? And this is Zelda kind of confirming that she as well has been having these weird, vague nightmares.
Right.
She said, oh, I'm sorry. I got carried away with my story and I didn't even properly introduce myself. I'm Zelda, Princess of Hyrule. What's your name? Strange. It sounds somehow familiar. Okay, then, I'm going to tell you the secret of the sacred realm that has been passed down by the royal family of Hyrule. Please keep this a secret from everyone.
No, I'm telling everybody.
You can't say no, and she'll say, come on, don't be a blabbermouth. and then she details the legend. I'm paraphrasing a lot of this dialogue. I know it's not fun when I rattle off paragraphs of dialogue. She describes the legend in which the goddess has hid the Triforce, which will grant its holder a wish. The goddess hid the Triforce somewhere in Hyrule, the Triforce being an object that will grant its holder a wish.
Right.
She mentions how if someone with a righteous heart has a wish granted, it can lead Hyrule to an age of prosperity. But conversely, if someone with an evil mind gets their wish granted, the world will be consumed by evil.
I mean, that would follow, wouldn't it?
And this is the purpose of the Temple of Time. That the sages built to protect the Triforce from evil. She says the Temple of Time is the entrance through which you can enter the sacred realm from our world, but the entrance is sealed with a stone wall called the Door of Time. And in order to open the door, it is said that you need to collect 3 spiritual stones.
Mm-hmm. Go get the 3 things.
Go get the 3 things.
And then after, collect another 5 or so things.
Uh-huh. And now you're doing the Zelda. She says, another thing you need is the treasure that the royal family keeps along with this legend, the Ocarina of Time.
Oh, sorry. Is that similar to the Ocarina of Time?
The Ocarina of Time. Yeah, no. That's what I said.
Nope. I'm going to crack down on this, Chris.
I'm not changing any of the things that I said throughout this season. We still got 17 episodes. I'm digging the heels in,
You're going to shove that E into the word ocarina.
Hey, ocarina.
Oh, no.
All right. So after she tells us about the Ocarina of Time, she says, did you understand well the story I just told you? And I have a note here. How wild is the idea of someone answering yes to this question? Like, she just said, there's a door of time and you need 3 stones and then you can enter the sacred realm. You got all that?
I feel
and
like...
And Link, this boy who can't even comprehend the existence of a horse a couple of hours ago, now has to wrap his head around all of that.
You should be... It should be entirely expected that you have at least a couple follow-up questions.
And you can't. You can either say yes and progress things, or you could say no here, and Zelda says, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not very good at storytelling.
So it's a wait, is it a story or is it a prophecy?
It's your story. It's your future story.
Right, but like, you just gotta get your terms down, man. The, like, this words mean things.
I know. So you say yes, and she tells you she was spying through the window, and she tells you to have a look. And then you peek through, and you see Ganondorf himself kneeling before the king. I mean, you kind of assume the king is there, you know?
I mean, if he's otherwise, he's just tying his shoe. Like, he's definitely kneeling.
Yeah, he's definitely kneeling. He could be tying his shoe. Zelda says that even though he swears allegiance to her father, she doesn't trust him.
Okay. He swears allegiance to the king. Ganondorf.
I swear allegiance to the king.
No, all right, that's not necessary. is this some kind of hint to the outcome of the Civil War?
Interesting.
Is this a recent thing that he swears fealty to the king, or is that like, you know, something that he's, is this a long con that he's had going the entire time?
So
who was versus who in the war, Chris? That's what I want
to
know.
To be honest with you, I don't know that we know the specifics about the Hyrulean Civil War. Like, it's not as cut and dry as like Ganondorf was trying to get the Triforce and that was the Hyrule. It's not, I don't think we have those details, to be honest with you.
My assumption, just based on the very slim details they give you, very slim context they give you, is that all of Hyrule united under the banner of the royal family of Hyrule at the very end. The Gorons and the Zora both have a spiritual stone, which suggests to me that they were at the ground floor of this decision, right? So they assisted Hyrule in the Civil War.
Right.
Kokiri did not play any part, I'm almost certain.
Or they did, right? And, oh no, sorry. Sorry, nope. I forgot Queen Goma's mom.
Exactly. The queen disappeared and became Goma. And that was their problem over there the entire time.
Sure.
That leaves the Gerudo.
Right. Okay. I'm following you.
So unless there's some other pocket of civilization that we're not aware of or told about in this game that was part of the Civil War, that's my guess.
It could be that this was Ganondorf, you know, coming to represent the Gerudo and make that final treaty, right?
Uh-huh.
And swear his allegiance in a similar way that the Zora and the Goron already have.
This is his red wedding. This is his whole... like, you know,
right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
at the end he pulls his hand back and he says sigh,
he says the me sends his regards. And then while the two of them are snooping through the window looking at Ganondorf, he quickly turns his head and opens his mouth like a Muppet.
Yeah, he it seems like he sees Link. It's hard to say if he sees Link.
Uh-huh. He seems to recognize. I mean, that's what my assumption is based on that, like, expression they give him, is that he recognized them through the window.
Yeah, it looks like he looks directly at them and seems somewhat shocked. But Zelda has a line of dialogue here saying, what happened? Did he see you? Don't worry. He doesn't have any idea what we're planning yet.
Zelda, are you going to kill this man?
Well, Zelda's not going to. She's going to help.
We're going to home alone this castle on Ganondorf?
Yeah. But yeah, I guess that kind of just like kneecaps our theory about the three of them having similar dreams, right? Zelda would prophesize it if so, and Zelda says, no, he doesn't know who we are.
I mean,
unless
she's like 7 and doesn't know that he knows, like, it's prophecies.
Or unless he doesn't, like, similar to like Link doesn't know exactly who Ganondorf is, even though he's seen these dreams. Like, maybe Ganondorf recognizes Link, but doesn't know exactly what Link represents in those dreams.
Does he know that they know that he knows?
Right. So Zelda is the wisdom of the group, right? So, like, Zelda kind of has that pulled back view and knows, okay, that's the Agent of Chaos.
She's not wisdom yet. That's coming later.
Okay, yes, which we established.
Right now, she has prophetic dreams and is, I think, guessing.
Nope, she's never been wrong yet.
She's never been wrong, but doesn't mean she's not guessing.
All right. Speaking of Zelda's guesses, she says, what Ganondorf is after must be nothing less than the Triforce of the Sacred Realm.
Sure.
He must have come to Hyrule to obtain it, and he wants to conquer Hyrule. No, the entire world.
Oh, there it is. There's the clue. He must have come to Hyrule.
Oh, so you're saying he wouldn't have been in Gerudo Valley.
We're like, Gerudo territory at this point in time is not considered part of Hyrule.
That's interesting. Is that the case? I never really thought about that.
I mean, based on the context, yeah.
Is he residing in Gerudo Valley? 100%. We know.
I mean, there's a bunch of his followers live there.
Yeah, I guess it's a safe assumption.
Yeah.
We never like enter Ganondorf's man cove. What do you think? Okay. We've now been so lucky to have multiple artists who listen to the show.
Uh-huh.
Can someone draw Ganondorf's man cove for us?
His man cove is a very good twist on the phrase.
Yeah, his man cove. Does he have a beanbag chair? Does he have a mini fridge?
His recliner that he sits in with his beers?
Uh-huh. What kind of posters does he have on the wall? Oh boy. Anyway, Zelda has some dialogue. We must not let Ganondorf get the Triforce. I will protect the Ocarina of Time with all my power. He shall not have it. You, go find the other two spiritual stones. Let's get the Triforce before Ganondorf does, and then defeat him.
I don't like being bossed around, but I'm gonna do it.
And then she gives you Zelda's letter. It says, wow, this letter has Princess Zelda's autograph.
All he cares about.
Yeah. I guess, again, going back to what we talked about yesterday, the celebrity placed on the royal family, which makes sense.
He got it talked up to him in Castletown. Like, oh my goodness, Princess Zelda, what a find, you know.
Yeah.
He just learned what royalty even is.
Uh-huh.
So he's kind of like latching on to every idea that gets introduced to him.
But what's wild is, like, later on, we'll see, like, these guards, and they'll be like, this is a dangerous area. And then you'll be like, okay, but look, I have Zelda's autograph. And they're like, sweet kid, go right in. They're bad at their job.
Do they take it from you because they also want the autograph?
Yeah, it's very possible.
So, these prophecies, why does no one believe this stuff? I think Zelda says at some point that the king doesn't believe her.
That's a good question, especially if she's getting them right as often as she claims she is.
Right. And this is a magical fantasy kingdom. And she's the descendant of a goddess.
Yeah. Well, do they not? They might not fully know that.
Do, like, they not believe in Hylia anymore?
They might not know about the blood. Yeah, I guess they would, huh? Why doesn't he believe her?
They know about it by Breath of the Wild.
You're right. They super know about it there, huh?
Yeah. So, like, that knowledge shouldn't have been watered down yet.
I don't know. Yeah. It's like some weird, like, reverse ageism stuff where it's like, she clearly has this divine ability.
This guy does not buy into prophetic dreams of his magic goddess daughter and his magical kingdom that he oversees. This dude.
And where's your wife now, bud? Where's your wife now, bud?
She's a dead spider.
She's a dead spider in a tree because you didn't believe your smart daughter. Yes, you sexist creep.
I hope you get overthrown and turned into a boat.
You might be handsome, but your hubris will get you turned into a boat.
Every time it'll turn you into a boat.
Every time. Holy cow. Anyway, Zelda has some dialogue. She says, my attendant will guide you out of the castle. Don't be afraid to talk to her. We turn around and we are treated to, I guess it's not our first sighting of Impa.
Well, not yet. No, I am not walking towards Impa yet.
Where are you going?
Because there's two things I want to talk about in this area.
Okay.
One of which, the windows in here are impervious to any sort of damage. But if you shoot a slingshot at one of them, a guard will pop his head out and throw a bomb at you.
I forgot about that.
Super defensive of the windows of this place.
I forget it. Is that N64 Easter egg as well?
It's on both.
That's great. That's good stuff.
I don't know why they included it, but it's very good. I mean, like, this dude's nuts, right? He's on his last thread.
You should not be tossing bombs into the courtyard where the princess is.
Nope.
That's not a great idea.
This dude's about to quit. That's why he's already taken these actions.
Yeah, he's having one bad day.
The second thing is, this window that Zelda is at, that is peeping into the throne room, I assume,
mm-hmm.
It is extremely decorated. It's got more stuff going on around it than any of the other windows in this area. On top of that, it has steps leading up to the window.
Yeah.
It's got the Triforce on it. Like, this is an important spot, it seems to be.
Okay. I guess we're getting into it, huh?
We're getting into it. I've been living here for weeks.
Hey, Pete, is this the Elemental Sanctuary?
Is this the entrance to the Elemental Sanctuary?
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm asking.
Like, is where this window is that Zelda Ezla is looking through, is this where the door once was that Ezlo exited from?
Oh, I do like that idea quite a bit, don't I? Like, right where that Triforce is, if like once every 100 years, a larger door just appeared there.
Yeah! Why else would they decorate it? Like, this is an important spot!
This is an important spot. I mean, it's like, you see an area that is clearly meant to resemble this area in Minish Cap, yep. Right? Like, and that's where the door would be. Yeah, I feel like that's exactly what they were trying to kind of get at.
So this was once the spot where you would enter the Sacred Realm via the Elemental Sanctuary.
Right, and that has now relocated to the Temple of Time, which is just east of here.
Which I guess you can do with a magic rift between realms.
I mean, Lost Woods does it all the time. Lost Woods moves all over the place, right?
That's true. That's true. It does travel. I just thought those are really cool. Once I put the pieces together on that, I thought that was the coolest thing.
I thought we connected these dots in the Minish Cap season, though.
But not that I remember.
No, I don't know. I'm with you, though. Like, looking at this picture and then remembering how vivid it was in the Minish Cap, they really did a great job. The Capcom team that did Minish Cap, that's a special little game.
Honestly, they didn't have to put that detail in to make this courtyard important.
But they did. And now this is where the rupees come from. One other thing about this area, I love if you just look up, I love how close the sky is in this courtyard.
Oh, yeah.
The skybox in this whole game, I mean, it's just such a of a time thing. I don't know. It's probably way different on the 3DS, but it looks like a ceiling in the N64 version, but a ceiling painted like the sky. And I just love it with my whole heart.
That is pretty neat.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's not like the clouds move or anything. It's staying like that.
I mean, I guess why wouldn't they do a similar thing that they did with Hyrule Field?
I'm not 100% sure, but when I took that screenshot, I was running it on an emulator and I had the right thumbstick mapped to the camera, which I don't believe is a thing you can actually do when you're playing on actual controls.
No.
So what I'm trying to say is I don't think you can actually point the camera directly up that way ever. So I may have broken the game a little bit to do that.
So invalid. Invalid comment.
Invalid comment. Comment, I guess. Sure. Yeah. Anyway, you want to talk about Impa a little bit?
Big, beefy, big lady, big buff lady.
Impa is a cool character. We've talked about Impa on the show. Impa rules school in Skyward Sword, and she's not too bad in this game, but I do think her design is indicative of something that probably looked super cool in 1998 and has grown to look a little bit cheesier over time.
I think she looks dope still.
You think she looks good?
Yeah. You kidding?
Okay. I like Sheik's design still, but I think Impa is like a little bit eh.
Well, here's the thing, is that Impa is not dressed like a ninja anymore. Because she's been with the royal family since Zelda was a baby.
Yeah.
She would even say, like, well, we can get to that in a second, but like, she basically raised Zelda,
mm-hmm.
which I think is really cool, first off, but also she's been
here. Fantastic.
But it would make sense that she's been here so long that her outfit, like, more resembles, like, a guard.
That's true. It definitely, she's got those guard shorts.
Yeah, I was going to say she got the shorts.
She's got a cool little metal chest piece. She's got white hair, but, like, in a I'm young and I have white hair and I'm owning it kind of way, not in, like, a...
The anime way.
Yeah, like, the anime way. She's got, like, cool wristbands on. She's got purple cowboy boots in a weird way.
Guess they are kind of riding boots. You can say, well, be generous and say riding boots.
It's wild to me that, like, the peak Impa design really is the Hyrule Warriors design, isn't it?
This is what I'm saying. That Impa should be in other games. So cool.
Yeah, that Impa should be. It's either have old Impa or have Hyrule Warriors Impa.
So good.
She kind of ruined it for the rest of them. So Impa says, I'm Impa of the Sheikahs. I am responsible for protecting Princess Zelda. Impa tells you about how her role in the princess's dream is to teach a melody to the one from the forest.
Right.
So she teaches you a song she has played for Zelda as a lullaby ever since she was a baby. Which is a really sweet note. Like, she, in this one line, establishes the relationship between her and Zelda.
She's like her adopted mom.
She is like her adopted mom.
Yeah.
I agree. That is the relationship between Impa and Zelda.
Uh-huh.
Not between Saria and Link.
No. I'll accept sister for Saria. That's fine.
Okay. We're getting closer. I guess we're getting closer. She teaches us Zelda's lullaby. We've heard Zelda's lullaby previous to, like, not in the timeline, but, like, Zelda's lullaby has been throughout this series, right?
I mean, it's, yeah, it's in every game.
It's in every game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like giving it this lore, giving it this little bit of like, oh, this is like a song played by the royal family for the princesses.
It's nice.
Aw. I like that, yeah.
Little detail about Zelda's lullaby, by the way, Chris. Only royal family members are allowed to learn this song.
Uh-oh.
Your eyes bugged out real big.
because I'm locked in. This is like, sometimes you do theories and like I don't, they go over my head, but I have to be like, yes, and this one I was locked in from when you said it, and mm-hmm. Holy cow, we are painting the picture episode by episode.
That was the last nail, right?
That was the last nail.
Link is the prince.
It does also make me feel like it's interesting because like you play this in order to introduce yourself to members of Goron royalty and Zora royalty.
Uh-huh.
And once you play it, they're like, oh, okay. And it almost feels like, oh, right, right, right. The king had a son also, didn't he? Like, yeah. Okay, this must be that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, I get it.
Like, just think about...
I could kind of see it.
Think about Impa's position right now, okay? With the royal family for whoever knows how long. Raised Zelda like a baby, feels sentimental like a parent towards this kid, sang this song every night to her when she was little.
Yeah.
Sees a little kid with the same color hair walk in out of the woods, and if just hypothetically, there was a missing other child who vanished with the queen one day... And he shows up. Oh, wait a minute. This actually makes a lot of sense. Like, starts to feel sentimental. Misses the queen, maybe. Sings the song for the kid.
Yeah.
Tells him only royalty is allowed to know this song. But real talk, though, what does happen if some rando whistles this out in Castletown?
I mean, I guess the idea is that they shouldn't know it, right?
Right.
This is only played behind closed doors in the castle.
Well, not anymore.
You learn Zelda's lullaby from Impa. Impa says, if the castle soldiers find you, there will be trouble. Let me lead you out of the castle. She takes Link to Hyrule Field and she says, take a good look at that mountain. That's Death Mountain, home of the Gorons. They hold the spiritual stone of fire. At the foot of Death Mountain, you will find my village, Kakariko. That's where I was born and raised. You should talk to some of the villagers there before you go up to Death Mountain.
Right.
The song I just taught you has some mysterious power. Only royal family members are allowed to learn this song. Remember, it will help to prove your connection with the royal family. The princess is waiting for you to return to the castle with the stones. We're counting on you. And then she tosses a Deku Nut at the ground and disappears.
Completely unnecessary.
Well, what is... I want to use Deku Nuts like this.
You want... Well, hey, Chris, I have good news. If you want to play Legends of Delta...
Okay. Okay. That's very cool. Also, I guess the idea is when you throw Deku Nuts at enemies, as we've both learned this playthrough,
uh-huh.
It stuns them.
Yeah.
So maybe what Impa did was she actually hit Link with the Deku Nut, stunned him, but because we're seeing it through Link's eyes, we don't know the difference.
It pauses your perception.
And when we come to, she's gone.
Interesting. But this... If that's not the case, though, like, what is this? Is this because she walked you out? She doesn't want to walk back in?
Yeah.
She didn't poof you out of the castle.
Time is money. She is a Sheikah. She's not a Hyrule Castle guard, okay?
Or she's just socially awkward.
Or maybe she's socially awkward. I respect it. I get it. I mean, that's kind of everything we have for the episode. Next episode, we're going to talk about Kakariko Village, which I'm absolutely psyched about. It's another guest episode.
Been looking forward to this one.
And Kakariko Village, one of the coolest locations in this game, if not maybe the coolest. I don't know. We'll figure it out. In the meantime, we do have some contractual obligations here.
Oh, that's right.
Travel recommendations.
I didn't prepare any.
Wow.
Oh, no.
Look how the tables have turned, because I have mine prepared. I have mine locked and loaded. And guess what, bud? This is a very hard one to come up with travel recommendations
My recommended photo op is... A art gallery tour of the courtyard.
Okay.
No flash photography, but you can take some.
Okay, so like the different statues and monuments.
And yeah,
everything.
And the paintings. Yeah.
Right on, right on.
What about you?
My recommended photo op. I just want a picture in front of the Mario photos, because I want a picture of myself in Hyrule in front of Mario photos. It's just like layers of like, what the heck is
Chris,
going
on? Why'd you show me this one? You're clearly not in Hyrule in this one.
I am in Hyrule, baby, and so is Mario, because we're in the extended Super Smash Brothers universe. Oh, no!
No!
Oh! We're back. We cannot even talk about everything we just saw. Anyway, let's get back to the travel recommendations. What is your best bite?
My best bite is milk. It's a ice cold milk.
Wow, I feel like I'm looking in a mirror right now.
I'll have whatever Talon's having.
Okay.
One of those friendly milks.
Talon's adult milk.
Yes, precisely.
Okay. My best bite is Weird Eggs Benedict.
What? Huh? Oh, I get it.
The item that you get from Malin is Weird Egg, right? So if you make an Eggs Benedict with it, it is a Weird Eggs Benedict. I don't really know what makes it different. But also Weird Eggs Benedict kind of sounds like Weird Al Yankovic in a way that I find audibly pleasing.
I now have to have a character called Weird Eggs Benedict in something. That would be...
I think I just got your third Mass Effect playthrough character locked in.
That'll be Andromeda, yeah.
And my attraction, or do you want to do your attraction?
My attraction is... Castle, moat, log flume.
Okay. I feel like we eventually need to start banning some of the recurring things.
Yeah, that you're right. You're right. You're right. Mine is...
My attraction.
Water painting in the Great Fairy's Fountain.
That's pretty good. Wait, what's water painting?
Water painting? It's like, you know, watercolors.
Like watercolor painting?
Yeah, yeah.
But you use the water from the walls?
Yeah, where it's already colored that, because it's all sparkly and stuff.
So if you paint using water that is slightly tinted in a fairy fountain,
yes,
it's paint? It's like literally paint?
It is. You can make paint with it, and then you can jump into it like Mario.
Dun, dun. Dun, dun.
What is this?
Dun, 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 dun. Pete, what does fairy fountain water taste like?
Oh, I genuinely...
Because you just made it seem like it's paint.
It's a paint and sip, but you can paint and sip with the same liquid.
That seems like something you shouldn't do. That seems like something that should be maybe checked by the FDA.
It tastes like piña colada.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. I bet at a minimum it tastes like seltzer.
Okay, sparkling waters, okay.
Yeah, sparkling water. Woo, boy. My attraction is a fun little game that children can play in the field of Hyrule Castle, and it's called Get the Guards to Earn Their Money. And basically what you do is you just walk around the field like a normal human bystander.
Uh-huh.
And you make the guards do work for once in their life. And the work they do is they kick you out over and over again.
So, okay. So it's to sneak in and punk and like sneak up on guards.
You just walk around and they'll get all high and mighty and kick you out of the nice, the beautiful, like foresty area that shouldn't be blocked off.
Uh-huh.
Like there's a drawbridge to the castle. They could just block that area off. This right. whole area doesn't need to be vacant.
So it's that you're gonna do the equivalent of that Simpsons meme where like the drunk guy gets thrown out of the bar.
Yes.
And then he's like right behind him again.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah, okay. So with the travel recommendations out of the way, do you want to move on to the motto for Hyrule Castle?
Oh boy, do I ever.
Do you want me to give mine first and then you can think it up?
Sure.
My motto for Hyrule Castle is Hyrule Castle. It's just a hop, skip, and a climb, and a swim, and an egg, and a push, and a sneak away.
That's really good. Dang it. I can't follow that, Chris.
Sorry, I tried to buy you more time and then I gave you like six extra seconds and made you laugh through three of them.
Okay. Hyrule Castle. Let's go.
I love it. And you just have a postcard with like beautiful Hyrule, like the iconic Hyrule field, and just have Mario just photoshopped right in front. People in the Discord have made postcards of some of our mottos, and it's the coolest thing in the world.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Also, shout out to a friend of the show, Josh Nichols, who was on the Tourist Trap episode and fully made a Link Must Die poster for the season.
It was so good. It was so good.
Holy cow. So much fun in there. Anyway, with all of that out of the way, maybe it's time for us to take a trip to the post office.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
All right. First postcard comes in from Seta. Seda asks, Dear Chris and Pete, greetings from the Ancient Tech Lab.
Oh.
I am a newly recruited research assistant, and after the defeat of Calamity Ganon, we've been excavating the old Hyrule Castle. Many ancient secrets have been buried there, but curiously, there have been a collection of tapestries and written accounts of two tour guides that go by your same name.
Oh, okay.
Not only are there depictions of you riding large ancient birds, but also with strange mousy creatures and amongst the Hyrulean Civil War of ages past. As someone with a vested interest in the ancient history of our great land, I would like to inquire if you know anything of your family tree or ancestry. Are tour guiding and names passed down through your lineage? Bolson Construction Company has a similar practice. Uh-oh, we got wrapped up in Demise's curse.
I'm scared. Okay, because like this goes back like a couple seasons ago as far as the post office, where I think, I forget who had actually said it or introduced the idea, that you and I are actually being reborn over and over also, like, because we're like NPCs now in this world. But apparently we didn't make it to Breath of the Wild times.
Oh, that's unfortunate. That's like going to a fortune teller and like they know how you're gonna die and you're just eyeballing them like, should I ask them? No, I don't want to ask them. Should I ask them? Seda says, anywho, my compatriots have proposed preposterous claims that you may be reincarnated or time traveling. Surely that would be impossible. I would write more, but word has just got out that there has been a huge discovery underneath Hyrule Castle that needs investigating. I have sent this letter with the best errand runner in Hyrule. He may be silent, but he is very reliable.
Oh, okay.
Please tip him.
I mean, definitely tip for sure.
Yeah, you should always tip. Thank you, Seda.
Yeah, thanks.
Seda is in our Discord. Seda actually provided a lot of the art for our Trials of the Hero tournament that happened a few weeks ago.
Oh, right.
You can see some of that on Twitter.
Yeah. I will say also, just, you know, maybe this is what they meant to ask. I am named after my dad. So the name does go down once.
Is your dad also part of the larger Legend of Zelda universe now?
No, very much not. He's about as far as you can get.
Fair enough. Do you want to take this next postcard?
Noice. 5-star review by Zelda Guard on Apple Podcasts. I, a humble guard, love this podcast more than ghosts. I have a question. What does Dark Nut taste like? And excuse me, podcast. We did Dark Nut, right? I think we did that.
If I say yes, can we not discuss what a Dark Nut tastes like in this moment? Because like half of them are dogs, I think.
Yeah, they're like dog people. They don't talk, though. So are they fair game? I don't know.
I don't know.
I think we did this,
though. Yeah, we definitely did Dark Nut because I couldn't get past the armor.
It was like, I think I said some kind of meat with jelly. Like, it was, I don't remember the exact words that I used, but.
I think meat with jelly is fine. Also, just, again, those things are 80 to 85% armor.
Mm-hmm.
You're just mashing up your teeth eating those things.
Well, Chris, you've eaten lobster, right? You just crack it open.
I don't like this. Let's next question. Cannibalism banned. Next next email from Kota. Kota says, hello, adventurers. Oh, actually, this is another one in character, so let me readjust.
Hello, adventurers. Since I was a young Goron, I have always wanted to go and travel around the vast land of Hyrule, but I never knew where to start, Goro, until one day when I had a couple of strangers talking to my younger brother Gorko about all kinds of weird stuff that I didn't really understand, Goro, but their big words convinced me to follow along. On our adventures, we saw all kinds of cool things. Purple glowy rocks that brought bones to life, little robots with loads of sass, Goro, and we even traveled to a place where we became really small. Then we were surrounded by a lot of tiny people with red hats. I think the tour guide said that they were called Minish? Either that or Picori. I was too focused on trying to understand the little people, so I don't know, Goro. After we got big again, we even went up a mountain to see my big cousin. I haven't seen him for a long time because he got in trouble after eating all of Mama's steel pots and pans, Goro. Anyway, I have to go now because we're traveling across Hyrule Field and there are a lot of little bone creatures coming up from the ground, Goro. Gotta go.
Kota the Curious Goron.
I have...
Holy cow.
I have questions for Kota.
Gang, a heads up. A little between me and you listeners, Pete and I record some of these mailbag sections before doing a full recording.
Uh-huh.
I cannot do the Goron voice ever again in a mailbag segment. So please, no more role-playing in Goron speak.
Okay, so Kota in character here is Gorko's brother, but also is cousin to Bigoron, who's like many generations later, I think.
There's a family tree thing, and I think the encyclopedia that like literally relates characters. I wonder how close they
are. Wait, what? Really?
Yeah.
I'll have to check that out.
It's pretty cool.
Something I do love, though, is that like so many people will send emails in character and just list the places we've been by season.
But it's nice. I mean, it's kind of like a trip down memory lane.
That's true. Right? It's
like
true.
If these little stops meant something to the listeners, like it's kind of nice to kind of revisit. These episodes sometimes can be a blur.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Podcast. I say this how many times now? Podcast amnesia is real.
Mm-hmm. Kota then has some very kind words for us about the podcast before asking us one question. Where do you think Hyrule is? Is it on some version of Earth, or is it on its own planet made by Hylia? We know that it somehow is in the same universe as Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, but how?
Hey, hang on.
Listen, Miyamoto's out there saying more Nintendo movies are coming after the success of Mario.
If that's true, cool, but like I don't know if we really want to, like, it's so funny that this email comes through as this same episode comes through because we're talking about the Super Smash Brothers universe.
Uh-huh.
I still don't know how I feel about that personally, because like Smash Brothers is supposed to be like, you know, like they're not from the same place.
No, it's a toy shelf.
It's not, right, exactly. And just to cap that off, no, Hyrule's not on Earth.
Hyrule's definitely not on Earth.
No, Hyrule's not on Earth.
No way. That would be bad.
I mean, we do know from this game how broadly the creation of Hyrule came down. I don't think they say it was the creation of the planet, but I'm pretty sure they didn't just plunk Hyrule in the middle of, you know, the Atlantic Ocean or something.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I got, other than like fiction planet looks like Earth, but not Earth.
Yeah, that's every fictional planet. Like, I think there's very few exceptions to that.
Yeah. I mean, if they say the word Earth, then, you know, but otherwise, yeah, no, for sure.
If you have any opinions on Link's bug mom, you can send us a postcard at HyrulePod@gmail.com or by dropping us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. We'll read your message here, and you'll be helping more listeners like you to find the show. You can also find the show on Twitter, Insta, and Tumblr at Hyrule Pod. If you want to find us individually on Twitter, I am at The Edge of My Pete.
And I am at A Man Named Babs. This episode has been such a roller coaster. I forgot that Link's mom turned into a spider that we slayed at the start of this episode.
Truly unhinged.
What is going on with this season? You can also find us on Discord. I mentioned it, I believe, earlier in the episode, but so much fun stuff is going on there. A lot of community stuff. If you've been listening to the show and you want to chat with us, you can find the link in our socials. Jump in and say hello.
Heck yeah.
We'd love to have you there. You can also support us on Ko-fi, ko-fi/HyrulePod. Donations of any amount will get bonus episodes where Pete and I chat about different video games that aren't always necessarily Zelda related.
Yep.
Also, it gets you early access to any Hello Hyrule bonus episodes. So basically, as soon as they're edited, they'll go up there.
Yep.
And then they'll also go up for free to everyone at the end of the season as well. Also, if you subscribe at $5 there, you get access to view Pete's tabletop RPG, Legends of Delta, which is the amount of detail in this thing is truly wild, and it's been so much fun to see members of the Discord community dive in there and start to give some feedback. It's so cool.
It's unsustainably large.
That's right. Thank you once again to Chill Boy Beats for the use of our intro and outro music. If you want to hear more Synthwave Zelda goodness, you can find his album, The Hero of Synth, on YouTube, Spotify, and Bandcamp. He's also got a ton of other music. He's got Pokemon music.
Yes.
He's got Mega Man music.
Yes.
Check him out. It's all good stuff.
It's an extremely good listen. That's going to do it for this episode of Hello Hyrule. Thank you for listening. Next episode, we're stepping into Kakariko Village.
Hachimachi, that's going to be a fun one.
It's going to be a meaty one. It's going to be pretty good. Mm-hmm. But until then, I have been Pete.
And I've been Chris.
Excuse me, podcast. Hey, plus the graveyard.
Plus the graveyard. We're going to see a special boy.
That could be a couple people.
It's Dompe.
There you
go. We're going to see a special boy. It's Dompe.